The World Affairs Council of New Hampshire, front and center. It's been a while since we've had the pleasure of chatting with them. Happy to do it again. And with us this morning, Tim Horgan and Anise Jasmine Sayers are with us. Good morning.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
Living the dream. Thank you. And you?
Good, good. We're glad to be back to a lot of in-person stuff. I know you've been able to host a number of our visitors in your studio over the years, and it's been always a great pleasure working with you and talking.
Well, thanks. And yeah, you have brought some wonderful folks to our listeners. I remember some Russian broadcasters, former Ambassador Pickering. We had the people from Gaza, both sides of the issue, put down their weapons and worked for peace, and had a wonderful gentleman in. Obviously, I gravitated toward the radio folks. The broadcaster from Burundi. And he was fabulous, and we were just sitting there chatting like old radio guys do, and we were having fun.
That was our last program before we had to move everything virtual for the pandemic.
Yep. No, and as a matter of fact, I have his business card right here. It stays in my wallet.
Perfect.
No, so and you have brought, and I think that's what the World Affairs Council does. It brings a different dimension of the news and the conversations that you see the talking heads doing nationally and internationally daily, but it brings them to New Hampshire and is like, oh, well, you're not scary. I can talk to you. This makes sense.
Yeah, it's an amazing opportunity to meet people from all over the world, learn from their different backgrounds, different perspectives. Obviously, the U.S. media does a good job of covering some of these events, but there's a lot going on in the world, and it's hard to stay focused on some of the lesser-known topics, but being able to meet with these international visitors really gives you insights into what's really going on in their countries, as well as just the opportunity to learn more about their culture and who these people are. We have so much fun with them, getting to know them, doing a lot of fun things with them while they're here. And it's a great opportunity for people here in the state to maybe open up their home and have some dinner with a group, or to go to a cultural event like the Deerfield Fair or something like that, to really show these visitors what New Hampshire is really about. And that unlike one of our Japanese groups who believed we all hated our families and put our parents in the nursing home as soon as possible, they were quite glad to see that we do actually care about family. And so it's a great way to bust some myths about the U.S. as well.
So what's the end game for the World Affairs Council of New Hampshire? Are you trying to change people's opinions or get people to just think? I mean, what's in it for you?
Yeah, so we have a number of goals around our various programs. So for our international visitor program, it's really about building connections that can help empower the world. These are two-way exchanges that we really want to share best practices. So we set up meetings for them with their counterparts here in the state and have them share what they do so that both sides can learn and improve. We know that the U.S. does not have the answer to everything, and being able to talk and mine different backgrounds and experiences really benefits the state and the programs that are going on here, as well as build those relationships that I was talking about that really sort of make the world a little bit closer, a little bit friendlier, and all of that good stuff. And then we also have our speakers program, our podcast, the Global Immigrant Granite State Podcast, which really focuses on helping people better understand complex issues that are going on around the world, how they impact us here at home, and really some ideas on what they might want to do about it. We are a nonpartisan organization, so we are not promoting any sort of policies or candidates or parties. And we take that very seriously in all of our work. We really want people to have the knowledge to start the conversation with fact-based information that they can take to their neighbors, their friends, their families, and say, this is what I know.
So if those are your goals, is New Hampshire a target-rich environment for a group like yourselves to bring these international people into New Hampshire and share their homes and have dinner with them, take them to the Deerfield Fair? Are we that kind of culture in New Hampshire that's welcoming?
So I have been working on our international visitor program for 13 years. And when I first started, it was a very small program. We have grown that by leaps and bounds. So I think in 2008, the year before I started, we'd hosted maybe 10 or 15 visitors throughout the year. Prior to the pandemic hitting, we hosted over 300 visitors on average per year on 40 or 50 programs. And now we're doing even more now that we're back in person. But really, it is amazing how welcoming people are and excited they get about being able to meet with these visitors. So Todd Selig, who is the town administrator out in Durham, New Hampshire, has told us that the most exciting part of his day is when he sees that a international group is coming to his office. He will spend 2 hours with a group talking about transparency, talking about accountable government and how to really improve systems. And it is just such a blast for him to be able to do that. Every year, we reach about 400 to 450 volunteers here in the state who open up their homes, their offices, and share with these visitors. We don't have the funds to pay for people's time. They are donating it out of the goodness of their heart and their interest in being able to have these conversations. Because, again, as I said, it really is a two-way exchange, and I think both sides come out of it better for the conversations they've had.
You know, Peter, Anise here. What I'd also like to add, you ask why New Hampshire?
Yeah.
And I say, why not New Hampshire? Do we only want to showcase the big, large cities in the U.S.? You want to get a feel for what New Hampshire is or what the U.S. is about? You bring them into small communities. And that's the second part about this program. It's besides bringing individuals here for these professional conversations on best practices, it's also building a better perception of who people are. You see what you see on TV and you form an opinion, but when you actually meet them face to face and you learn about them, you learn that we have more things in common than we didn't. So I think it's very important for New Hampshire.
You know, and on those notes, and you've been talking about, you know, myth busting even, you know, there's a lot in perceptions about America that are just not right. And it's kind of nice to be able to clear that up for folks. Do you find that just as often we're being educated about maybe some preconceived notions that we have about places that these folks are coming from?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think of it this way. A controlling government, what do they want you to know? They're going to control the narrative of what you see in the news. And that's how many people form their opinions. So having these people come here, learning about them, learning about how their governments are, how politics work, how media works, how nonprofits work, organizations, how they come together for the community, it's breaking misbeliefs everywhere, not just here, but definitely abroad.
And I would point to a group we hosted last year, actually the only group we hosted in person last year. We had three members of parliament from Ukraine. And, you know, at the time, we didn't realize how important Ukraine was going to become to the world and to the global order. But obviously, with the Russian invasion of that country that continues to this day, it has been amazing to be able to talk directly to these people and learn about what is going on the ground from a direct firsthand experience. We continue to have conversations. One of them came back earlier this year to do a tour of New England, and she spent some great time here in New Hampshire to meet with the people who had helped to host her the last time. And it, again, it's just a great and amazing opportunity to meet people who know and experience these complex issues that are impacting the world and the state of New Hampshire in a number of ways.
When you're looking, and this, Anise or Tim, when you're looking to bring groups to New Hampshire as part of the program, Are there some things, some groups that you say, oh, the people will love these, as opposed to, I don't know, do you think they'll get this? You know, kind of like, well, we think it's interesting, but we don't know if it's going to resonate. Do you, are there some favorites that you play as opposed to kind of rolling the dice?
Well, we have our consistence of transparency, accountability, politics, women empowerment, you know, youth and civic engagement. So there are standard groups that we always have here because we have great resources in New Hampshire, so we know we do professional meetings. However, it's fun to break out of the box and do things that we've never done before. Earlier this year, I had a group from Greece on Holocaust education. And while it is a heavy topic, I was super excited to be programming a new topic for New Hampshire and being able to meet some of the amazing resources we have out there educating about Holocaust and genocide. You know, so it could be a group from Bahrain on media and democracy, a social media group from Bahrain. It could be not too young. It's anything and everything that looks fun, enticing. Could be combating fishing in lakes or coasts. So I don't say there's anything in particular. I look at groups. I say, does New Hampshire have a great resource on this? Is this an area we can break into? You know, we've done our first inclusive, it was a diversity, inclusion, and equality group, and we got to meet with organizations we hadn't yet. So it's nice to be able to start adding these into our resource pool so that way we're touching more of New Hampshire and not just the same people over and over again.
Wow.
And it's a great opportunity to learn about some really interesting things that are going on here in the state that you wouldn't know about. So we have hosted a number of groups on anti-wildlife trafficking coming out of Africa. And when I first hosted my first group on that, we found out that actually one of the New Hampshire Fish and Game officers had just been elected to an international organization on to their presidency on anti-wildlife trafficking. So, you know, you may not think of these things. We had a group on animation and audiovisual design a number of years ago. And when I applied for it, I thought, oh, my God, this group will never come here because they're going to go to Florida. They're going to go to California.
Yeah.
What do we have? But after doing some research, there are some amazing things going on here in the state. So it's really eye-opening, not only to the visitors, but to the people of New Hampshire as to all of the crazy and cool things that happen in the state.
Oh, that's cool. All right, Tim, in the time we have left, out of how many years now? 13 you've been doing this?
13,
all
yeah.
Right. Out of 13, is there one group or one event that sticks out in your mind that you're most proud of?
Well, I think we probably don't have time to go through all of the the fun stories that I've experienced over the years. But I think the best one that I can highlight is a group that came a few years ago to talk about domestic violence prevention. And we took them to the Freedom Cafe out in Durham, which is a nonprofit coffee shop that helps educate people about human trafficking and ways in which we can prevent that. One of the visitors was so impressed with their model that she was from India, and she was able to, along with Freedom House, raise $5,000 to bring two interns over for a five-month stay where they learned the ins and outs of that nonprofit so that they could take that information back home, set up their own version of it, and do some really amazing work in anti-human trafficking in India.
Wow.
So really, that is an amazing outcome from that program. And, you know, just you would never have something like that without that direct connection being facilitated by the World Affairs Council of New Hampshire.
All right. Anise, same question to you that you've been involved with. Is there one that sticks out in your mind?
I can't say that I have one that sticks out. I mean, I had another group from, if you want aha moments and surprises, I had a group, ironically enough, from India on domestic violence. It was the Hague Convention, and one of the visitors, as a little child, his father used to read him a book that had a picture of a daffodil on it, and never in his life had he ever seen a daffodil. But finally, when he came to New Hampshire, he got to see one, and it was like a little kid. So sometimes it's just these moments and these connections that you're building that make these amazing moments.
Wow. Wow. Daffodil. And that resonated.
I know.
Wow.
Silly, you know, it's a silly, beautiful flower, but something they don't have over there. I mean, that's the thing, is it's all these moments. It's I just had a group, as I said, on diversity and inclusion, and one of them had a disability. And in the Republic of Georgia, they don't even have dips in sidewalks to make it more accessible.
Yeah.
So so I can't say one. There's an aha moment for every group that comes in, whether it's from my eyes or me watching their eyes.
I love it. If people want more information, they can go to World Affairs Council of New Hampshire, WACNH.org, and that'll give you give you a place to start anyway. And now you're back from the pandemic. I'm back. So Anise and Tim, I hope we're going to get back to a regular schedule.
All right, great. Well, thank you, Peter. We really appreciate your time, and Keen is so lucky to have you out there with them now.
Well, we appreciate it. Hey, do you still have the Kitchen Table Diplomacy, the recipe book?
We do, yeah. So if anyone is interested in some really cool recipes from around the world that have come from visitors, we do have some of those left, as well as Anise is working on
a new alumni project, which is actually putting together recipes from around the world. But this is going to be a continued project that our visitors will be able to submit. So we'll be able to share those with our members, our listeners, all the residents and community in New Hampshire.
Well, I'm thinking stocking stuffers for the holidays. So, you know, I might have to pick up some of those bad boys. All right, just saying. Anyway, it has been a blast to catch up again. Anise Jasmine Sayers, the International Visitor Program Director, and Tim Horgan, the man at the World Affairs Council of New Hampshire. A pleasure having both of you, and I look forward to new guests coming to New Hampshire and a chance to dazzle them and say, hey, we know our stuff here in New Hampshire.
Exactly. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you very much. See ya.
Okay, bye.
Wow, the World Affairs Council of New Hampshire. Great folks. And, yeah, I've worked with them for a few years, and they bring over some great people. And, we're thinking, you're not like I see in the news. You're normal. And then they look at me going, you're okay, too. I'm like, all right, hey, this is cool. And you find that common ground, and then you just go from there. So very cool. So thank you to Anise and Tim, World Affairs Council of New Hampshire. WACNH.org is the website. You can check it out for yourself. Right now, we're taking a break.